peace with God.
Facebook life. Actual life. It's amazing how different they can be, isn't it? Some people's status updates and photos make their lives look a whole lot happier and more exciting than the lives you know they actually live. We aren't always who we say we are. That's not the case with Jesus. He is who he says he is.
How do you explain this fabulous, tremendous life that no other man in history has ever lived or ever come close to living? Apart from the fact that he was the unique, only begotten Son of the living God.
So the question now, says Billy Graham, is who do you say Jesus is?
And the answer that you give will determine where you are 1,000 years from today.
Welcome to Peace with God, an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I'm Bill Meyer. Today, Billy Graham asks and answers the question, who is Jesus? You'll also hear from his daughter, Anne Graham Lotz.
Do you long for a vibrancy in your faith, a passion in your love for Jesus, a fresh touch from heaven?
Don't miss Anne's teaching on personal revival coming up right after her dad's message.
Peace with God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
peacewithgodradio.org or 888-61-JESUS.
888-61-JESUS.
Today's message is titled, Who is Jesus? It comes from Billy Graham's 1962 crusade in Chicago, Illinois. Let's begin listening.
Now the 16th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. I want you to get the picture. Our Lord takes his disciples to Caesarea Philippi, which are the headwaters of the Jordan River, located at the foot of beautiful snow-capped Mount Hermon. It was in this city that Herod the Great had built a great white marble temple to Augustus Caesar, 25 miles northeast of the Sea of Galilee. And the time of Jesus on earth was coming short. His days in the flesh were numbered. And the problem that Jesus faced was this. He had gone about the countryside healing, doing wonderful miracles, doing good, but did the people understand him? Did anyone recognize him? Did anyone know who he really was? Who would carry out his work when he was gone? Who had caught his vision? Caesarea Philippi was a place of many temples. And here is the dramatic picture. A Galilean carpenter with 12 very ordinary men taking them up to this place. And he stands in an area that is littered with the temples of Syrian gods, a place where the ancient Greek gods looked down. And here, of all places, this amazing carpenter stands and asks men, who do they believe him to be? And he expects the answer to be the Son of God. It's as if Jesus deliberately set himself against the background of the world's religions and all their history and splendor, and then he demanded to be compared with them and to have the verdict given in his favor. Who do men on the streets say that I am? He didn't ask who the Pharisees say I am. He said, who do the common people, the ordinary people, say that I am? And the disciples answer him. He says, who do men say that I am? Who do the common people in the streets say that I am? And the disciples said, well, some of them say you're John the Baptist. Now, what was it about John the Baptist that reminded the people of Jesus. What was it about Jesus that reminded them of John the Baptist? John the Baptist was no limp, moral man. He was a man of courage and boldness and strength. He stood up to the Pharisees when they came out to hear him preach. The theologues came out to hear him preach. They didn't agree with the preaching of John the Baptist, but they were very interested and curious. And they came out to make notes from the theological seminary. They wanted to check up on what he was saying, and John the Baptist turned to them and said, "Why don't you repent of your sins, you generation of vipers?" He called them snakes. And then he went up to see Herod, the great king, and he pointed his finger in Herod's face and said, "Herod, you're living in adultery." No wonder the king got angry and threw him in prison. The king was scared to death of John the Baptist. The common people heard him, but he threatened the position of the political and religious leadership of that day. And they said, "Get rid of John the Baptist." And there's something about the boldness and the strength and the power and the courage of Jesus Christ that reminded the common people of John the Baptist. Because you see, Jesus took a whip one day and went in among the money changers in the temple. They had made the temple of God a den of thieves. They had commercialized religion. And Jesus took cords and went in and drove them out. That took a lot of courage and boldness to go and turn over their money tables and kick them right out of the temple. But that's what Jesus did. And Jesus, talking to the leadership of his day, demanded a choice. He said, "There's nothing neutral about me." He said, "You'll either hate me or you'll love me." He said, "You can't serve God and man at the same time. You can't serve your own selfish ambitions and desires. Make a choice." We don't like it put that way. We don't like to be driven into a corner. But Jesus drives men into a corner. He makes you make a choice about him. Jesus makes us decide. Jesus said, "You'll suffer persecution. When you follow me, there's going to be trouble. You'll be sneered at and laughed at. You'll go back to your office and they'll call you a holy Joe. They'll call you all kinds of names." And this reminded them of Elijah the prophet, who had stood and said, "Choose you. If Baal be God, then serve him. If God be God, serve him." Elijah the prophet. Jesus came to destroy the false gods, just as Elijah done. And they said, "A lot of the common people think you're Elijah come back." And Jesus comes into your life. He destroys all those false gods. He demands first place. Your money can't be first. Your television can't be first. Even your family can't be first. Nothing can be first. Christ must be first. And every decision you make, you must say, "What would Jesus have me do?" The ethics you practice and the principles in business, in race relations. What would Christ have me do? What would Christ do? This is the great question that we have to ask ourselves. Jesus said, "Choose. What kind of a life? You can't be neutral. What's your choice going to be? What are you going to say?" And then the disciples said, some of the people say, "You're Jeremiah. You're Jeremiah, come back from the dead." Now, what kind of a fellow was Jeremiah? Jeremiah was called the weeping prophet because he wept over the sins of Jerusalem. He stood over Jerusalem in a time of prosperity and luxury. A time when everything was going fine. Oh, yes, the enemy was gathering on the borders, but Judah had a powerful military force. And Judah was more prosperous than ever before. And in the midst of all this prosperity, Jeremiah said, "If you don't repent of your sins, you're going to be destroyed." The people didn't like that. They put Jeremiah in jail. They dragged him through the streets. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to stop him. And all he did was stand and weep and plead with them to repent. And they laughed at him. And I believe we're living in a day today comparable to the day of Jeremiah. We are trusting in fleshly weapons and carnal weapons, and this will not save us. Jeremiah warned the people and said, "Repent of your sins." But they wouldn't repent. And so Jerusalem was destroyed just as he said it would be. And Jesus warned the people, and he wept over Jerusalem and warned the people to turn to God. And then Jesus turned and said to the disciples, "Now I want to find out something else. Who do you say that I am?" Jesus wanted to know whom his disciples said he was. And Peter blurted it right out, speaking for all the disciples. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus never rebuked Peter. He never said, "Peter, don't say that. That's blasphemy." He didn't do that. He accepted it. He expected it because he was the Son of the living God. There are a lot of people today that say that all of this is a myth. That Jesus really, it doesn't make any difference whether he lived or didn't live. It's the idea, it's the story that counts. I tell you, Jesus is a historical figure. He lived. He was human. He was born of Mary, the teenage girl. And he was conceived, not by Joseph, but by the Holy Ghost. He was born of Mary, who was a virgin and never knew a man. Mary gave birth to this child. Who was it? And the answer that you give will determine where you are 1,000 years from today. Ye shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Are you ready to let Jesus save you from your sins? Learn more by going to peacewithgodradio.org and clicking on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. If you'd rather talk with someone, give us a call. Our number is 888-61-JESUS. That's 888-615-3787. Stay tuned for more of Billy Graham's message, Who is Jesus? Here on Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Audrey likes to talk, and she likes to use that gift to draw people to Christ.
A person who likes to talk, and in meeting people, I might not have intended to share the gospel, but somehow there it came out through talking, maybe about how good he is and how he's done so much for me and how he'll do things for them as well.
And there's a reward in that.
Through watching them believing what I'm saying and trying him, that's brought me closer to him and made me grow into a better person.
You might be as outgoing as Audrey, or maybe you're a little more reserved. Either way, you can still carry the gospel message. My Hope with Billy Graham 2014 is about helping you by starting where you worship, because your church knows the best way to reach your community. Learn more at myhopewithbillygraham.org. Myhopewithbillygraham.org.
Thanks for being with us for Peace with God. In his message today, Billy Graham's asking you, who is Jesus? We'll return to that message in just a moment. First, we want to introduce you to a woman who came to better understand who Jesus is when she was pregnant with her son.
I was a very young mother, and being that, you get a lot of judgment by people every day.
But that judgment, says Jamie, wasn't coming from the church.
There was such a warmth there that I didn't expect. I couldn't forgive myself for getting in that situation. When I first got pregnant, I was raised in the church. I knew what I was supposed to do. I knew what I wasn't supposed to do. And I still chose wrong. And I didn't know how anybody was going to react.
There was one reaction in particular that had a huge impact on Jamie.
If it honestly wouldn't have been for just one lady who was so kind to me. The first gift that he got, I got for him, was a bib that said, Jesus' child. And just on a bib, it had little teddy bears on it. She had cross-stitched it, and her name was Michelle. She didn't do a lot. It was just that one moment where I saw Christ shining through Michelle.
Jamie says she's seen Jesus work in her life and in her son's life, and she's come to understand that Jesus doesn't build his kingdom with perfect people.
That's where the hope is. That's where the saving grace of Jesus is that we don't start off clean. We don't start off, we're not good enough. It's only through Christ that we become good enough to be with him and with his Father.
You can listen to more of Jamie's story online. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on TV and radio. Then look for stories and interviews.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
There's hope.
Peace with God.
Peace with God.
Who is Jesus? That's the question Billy Graham asked and answered at his 1962 Chicago Crusade. Part of the answer he gave is that Jesus was both divine and human.
He was man, but he was God. He was God, but he was man. When Jesus worked in the carpenter shop and he cut his finger, his blood was warm and red just like yours. He was tempted or tried in all points like as we are. He had the same passions, the same desires, the same temptations that you have, and yet he never yielded to one of them that was wrong. The Bible says he was hungry. On the cross he said, I thirst. He became tired and went to sleep in the back of a little boat. He knew the joys of friendship and the pangs of being misunderstood and despised. He wept at the tomb of a loved one. He had to fight temptation. He had to endure disappointment. He knows what you go through with. There's never been a problem that you've ever faced that Jesus hasn't been there. Death, he's been there. Trouble, he's been there. Temptation that you cannot seemingly resist, he's felt the same temptation. He found it necessary to pray. But in this question, who do you say I am? Jesus was asking for more than this. He was asking that they accept him as the Son of God. Because Jesus was more than man. The Bible teaches that he was God. Jesus was his name, but Christ was his title. The Bible teaches that he existed long before the foundation of the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Colossians says he was before all things, before the stars, before the universe. There was Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, says the Scriptures. He never apologized for sin like other men have to apologize. He didn't have to get on his knees and say, God, forgive me. He challenged any man to prove an error in his thinking. One charge they made against him, they said, you love sinners. Yes, he loves sinners. If you've broken the laws of God, you can put it down. He loves you. I don't care what you've done and how evil you've been and how hypocritical you've been and how ugly you've been and how harsh and how cutting you've been. He loves you. He loves sinful men. And another charge they made against him. You claim to be equal with God. That's blasphemy. Yes, he claimed it. But they could never point their finger at him and say, we've seen you commit a sin. He never cheated. He never lied. How do you explain this fabulous, tremendous life that no other man in history has ever lived or ever come close to living? Apart from the fact that he was the unique, only begotten Son of the living God. And then his claim of authority. Jesus came unto them and spake unto them, all authority, he said, has been given unto me. All authority. He claimed the authority to forgive sins. No prophet ever claimed that. No prophet ever stood up and said, I forgive your sins. But Jesus did. He had authority over nature. When he stood up in the boat, even the winds would obey him. He had authority over disease. He could make the blind to see and the deaf to hear. He had authority over demons so that they came back and said, what have we to do with thee, thou Son of God? And the death he died. The lightning flashed, the thunder roared, the darkness settled on the earth, and the soldiers confessed that this must have been the Son of God. And the crucifixion of Christ became a stumbling block even before he died. Oh, they said, we like you, Jesus, these big, beautiful churches you're going to build and these big organizations you're going to have. You're going to heal people, great hospitals you're going to build, wonderful things you're going to do. We like all that. We want all that. Then he said, wait a minute. Before you can have all of that, I'm going to die on a cross, and you can't be my disciple unless you're willing to die with me. And the Scripture says, many of them walked no more with him. We want everything about Jesus, but we don't want his cross. And Paul said, the cross is an offense to men. We want all of his great teachings. We recognize he was a great man. But we don't want that cross where he died for sin. We want everything but that. But I want to tell you this. You can never enter the kingdom of God unless you come to the cross. And you can never enter the kingdom of God unless you are willing to identify yourself with Christ at the cross. Because Jesus hung openly and unashamedly for you on that cross. He died for you. And you must come and be willing to die with him, as it were. You must be willing to go back to that gang. You must be willing to go back to your home. You must be willing to go back to your office and back to your place of business and identify yourself openly with the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I'm a Christian. I'm going to live a Christian life. That's taking your stand at the cross. That's identification with Christ. But he didn't stay on the cross. He died and they put him in a grave. But on the third day, he rose again. And it was the resurrection of Christ that caused the disciples to go out and turn the world upside down. They went everywhere saying, Christ is alive. Christ is living. 500 disciples saw him at one time. He is living. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't offer to you today a dead Christ in a grave. I offer to you a living Savior who is alive at this moment. He is living. We must live like he lives in our hearts. Jesus said, by their fruits, ye shall know. How are you living? Are you living as though the Son of God lives in you? Because you see, you cannot live the Christian life by yourself. It is Christ living in you and through you that lives this new, victorious, resurrected life. I no longer live. Christ liveth in me. And the life I live by faith. It's a matter of faith. Then what will you do with Jesus?
So what's your answer to that question, what will you do with Jesus? We can help you work through it. Go to peacewithgodradio.org and click on Grow Your Faith. That's peacewithgodradio.org. Or talk to us on the phone about it. Our number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787.
Peace.
With.
God.
Find us at peacewithgodradio.org.
Billy Graham just looked at the question, who is Jesus? And when a lot of people at one time come to know who Jesus is, that's often called revival. There's another kind of revival, one that Billy Graham's daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, explores right now.
What is revival to you? An emotional outburst? An evangelistic meeting? The revival I long for isn't a tent meeting. It's not a series of church services to save the lost. It's God purifying his church. A work of God's Spirit among his own people, that our hearts would be open to see the Lord. Revival is Jesus in you, around you, through you, over you, before you, and behind you. Personal revival is just Jesus. Nothing but him on your mind, filling your heart, overflowing from your lips. Paul prayed in Ephesians 1:18 that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Think about it. Do you long for a vibrancy in your faith, a passion in your love for Jesus, a fresh touch from heaven? Don't settle for a dull, dry faith. Ask God to revive your heart. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
Would you like to hear Ann's teaching and her father's message again? Maybe you'd like to share them with a friend. You can by getting a free CD of today's program. Just give us a call and let us know you'd like the free CD of this edition of Peace with God. The number is 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787. That's also the number to call if you'd like to invest in the work of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Make your donation by calling 888-61-JESUS, 888-615-3787, or give online at peacewithgodradio.org. Next week here on Peace with God, Franklin Graham says no mess is too big for God.
He's good at putting the pieces of your life back together.
In addition to hearing Franklin on next week's edition of Peace with God, you can also hear and watch him live from his next Festival of Hope. The Three Rivers Festival of Hope with Franklin Graham will be streaming live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, the 15th, 16th, and 17th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. To watch the festival, just go to billygraham.org/live. That brings us to the end of this edition of Peace with God. We hope you'll join us again next week at this same time. In the meantime, I'm Bill Meyer saying thanks for being with us today.
Peace with God is an outreach of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.